Welcome to From My Mother's Basement. This is episode 2. Yeah, I know this is episode 2, and this is going to be a part 2 of last week's podcast. But there's some things that come up that I wanted to talk about this week. And so I'm like, I'll do part 2 to begin again from last week. I will do next week. Anyhow, thanks guys for listening today. I appreciate that. Got some good feedback so far. We are finally on iTunes, thankfully. But anyhow, what I've been thinking about, you know, this whole podcast, I do have another blog talk radio show that's live on Mondays and Fridays. I'm sorry, Mondays and Tuesdays and Fridays that we do live over there. And I'll give that information at the end of the podcast. But things I've been thinking about, actually, I thought about this last night when I was finally winding down to go to bed. It's about, you know, being back and caring for an ill parent is difficult enough. You know, my social life, as I was talking about last week, is not as social as it was before, but that's okay. I'm a man of a particular age, so I don't need to be out in the clubs. Although I miss, I don't know if I'll be able to much, or even if I will go to any of the Pride events this year. I would love to go to Atlanta's Pride, but I know it's going to be probably in October, like it's been for the last 3 or 4 years. But there's some places, you know, not too far away that I might venture out and make a day trip of it. Haven't really decided, but being back home, it's definitely difficult. Like I said, the city that I live in, I grew up here, was educated here, have deep roots in this city because pretty much all my family's here. But I was thinking about dating. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna start dating again, and I'm like, I don't know. You know, you go online and you see all of these ads on the different dating sites, hookup sites, whatever they call. Call it what they are. You know, you have Grindr, you have Growler, you have Scruff, you have, oh, there's another one. I can't think of all the names. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And their location hookup site. It's funny, in a small town, unlike Atlanta, in a small town, the people that you see, you really know them. You know, like I said, I lived here for a very long time before I moved away, and the same people are still here. A lot of them are still here. They haven't moved away. They haven't, you know, the scenery hasn't changed, so to speak. And so I see them on there, and I think it's kind of funny because you'll see them. If you go and you'll check your picture, you'll see where they've checked you out. I'm like, oh my god, I know you. They'll be checking me out. You know, it wasn't that type of party then. It's definitely not that party, that type of party now. And then there's, for some reason lately, the ones that I have been on, they, I'm like, why are all these young guys, you know, hit me up? You know, and I used to have I was talking to a friend just the other day, I used to have a 7 and 7 rule. You know, 7 years below my age and 7 years above my age. But that, to me, that doesn't even apply anymore because I am, and I will say it, I am over 40. Not much over 40, but I am over 40. And I'm like, I don't think I want to date anybody in their 20s, you know, at all. You know, that doesn't even appeal to me. And a lot of people, I have a friend that he would say, oh, you're missing out. You know, you might be missing somebody that you really connect with. Yeah, I don't think that's it. It's just, I just need, and not that I dislike that age group. And, you know, there's a lot of attractive people in their 20s that I'm attracted to. But sometimes I need you to come with a little bit more life experience. You know, I happened to work with a 21-year-old, we work at the same place, but his ideal of working is different from my ideal of working. He still goes out and parties all night and then tries to come to work and be productive, which that doesn't work. But I was 21 at one time, so I can relate. It's just the dating. I don't think I can. I know friends. I know I have a niece that's in her 20s, and I know her friends, and they're fun to chit chat with. You know, I can get the latest song or the latest dance or what the kids are talking about today. It's so funny when you get to an age when you can call other grown folks kids. Or it's like, oh, I'm way older than you, and they're in their 20s. But it's just difficult. And but then in this small city, people that are my age, and I think it's funny, when I came back, I was like, okay, I've been gone, 6-7 years, and you guys haven't changed your age. You was the same age, and I know half of you guys are older than me, but you guys' ages haven't changed in 7 years. What gives? And it's funny, I actually, somebody that I knew was older than me, and so I'm being funny. I think I'm funny, and I don't know if he thought it was funny or not. So I kind of sent him a message. I'm like, what I typed was something like, oh, I didn't really know that was you till I seen your picture because of your age. And he's like, oh yeah, I forgot to change it. No, you didn't. And then another person that I spoke to on there, he was saying the reason he doesn't change, because he's well over 40, but he keeps his age like in the 30 to 35 bracket range. He says because if he puts his age in the what his age is, that then when people search and they, I guess you can exclude different ages, they will miss his profile. I'm like, that's the point. They're getting people that they're not interested in out. That doesn't make sense to me. So we had a kind of exchange about that, which I really didn't care. I just think you're stupid. But it's just funny. I don't really understand that. And again, I'm like, and there's people that I've ran into that I've dated before. Some of my exes do live here. I haven't ran into any of them yet. Ex-boyfriends, not anybody that I've actually, dates are one thing, boyfriends are different. I've ran into a couple that I have dated. And then there's somebody that I was never interested in that works at a store, and I'm like, huh, how come I was never interested in you? And then we're really nice. We have a great conversation when we do see each other. But I don't know. He just looks kind of sad. I don't know what his problem is, but I'm not the one that does the initial approach. I'm not that guy. I'm, not that I want to be chased, because, I don't, that whole chasing thing is kind of bizarre to me, but, just, say something. I want you to say something to me. I'm not going to do the approach. I don't know if that, I think it makes me desperate. I don't think it does, but again, I am a man of a particular age, so I need to start making more of a first move than instead of waiting back. I'm not one of these young tenders in the bar that everybody's after, but you had to go to the bar for somebody to see you. The only time I did go out here since I've been back home is I went on a Tuesday night with a girlfriend of mine. there was nobody there, and we had a good time because we get to catch up and talk and things like that. But like I say it all the time, people probably get tired of me talking about Atlanta, but I miss Atlanta. Going back one of these days. Dating is definitely difficult, and I know eventually I will start dating again. It just had to be the right timing. Like my timing right now, I work a lot, and also I care for my mother, so I don't have a lot of time to focus on a relationship. And now on my days off, I'm taking care of my 11-year-old nephew. That's one thing, when you do come back home, you're kind of forced back into that role that you've kind of outgrown, but you gotta make a way to make things fit. I was talking about last week how I was, you know, on my reservations about moving from the area. What would my family do? What would happen to them if I was just gone? And, you know, when I left, I had this tremendous amount of guilt. And now that I'm back, you know, their comfort level has came back. You know, my comfort level is, I'm not, my heart's not here. You know, I'm here, but my heart's not here, if that makes sense. And everybody wants me to wants, it's like having a square, you know, and you've always been that square and it's always fit and has fit time and time and time again. But then I changed, I've grown, I've evolved. I'm still the same person, but I'm not a square anymore. You know, I'm more like a triangle. And although you can get that triangle in a square, in the particular size, work with me, it's a bad metaphor, but I'm trying. You can get that triangle in that square space. Although it fits, it just doesn't fit right, if that makes sense. I guess a better analogy would be, you know, have a square space and try to put a cylinder inside of it. It's going to go on there, but the sides don't meet. You know, that's kind of how I see myself now. The sides don't meet, and although, you know, it's okay, you know, but so everybody wants me to be that square, but now I'm something different. I'm the same person, but just a little different. And it's like in I'm a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer watcher. Well, I was. I still watch it from time to time. I have it every season on DVD, converting it to Blu-ray eventually. And it's like, remember when Buffy died? She died in like season 5 when she jumped off that building, and they brought her back in season 6. And then through the course of the show, she didn't fit. And then when she was fighting Spike, because, you know, Spike had the chip and he couldn't hit humans anymore because of the initiative that put the chip in his head. And she says, he says, "You came back different. You're not the same anymore." And that's how I feel. I came back different. And then everybody wants to put you into that, the mold, the role that you're always used to playing, but you're just a little different. But still, see, there's nothing wrong with it, because I think we all have to have an opportunity to grow and change and evolve. And it just don't fit. So with that being said, I totally lost my train of thought, but it's been difficult. And it's like, that's what I was saying. The role that I'm playing now, I don't have time to concentrate on dating. You know, I don't think, you know, I guess it could fit into my life some way, but I need to find the balance. My balance is off. And I always want to, like, it's that India Ari song, you know, always trying to come back to the middle. And I'm kind of on the side right now, you know, up underneath everything, you know. And it's funny because doing my care for my mother, she has, you know, her bedrooms upstairs, and I kind of lived in the basement where I stayed when I was in college, and the filter, I can hear everything that goes on in the house. And when she needs something, if something medically is wrong and I have to be there, I can hear all that stuff. And it's like, I'm still underneath, and I need to rise above. And I don't know how I'm going to handle that yet. You know, like I said, I enjoy being back home. I love my family dearly. But I think, even though, and I know some people out there that can relate, you do need to make some time for yourself. Or you feel like the walls are kind of crumbling in on you, so to speak. But, you know, I'm managing. And so my thing is, the only break I get from being the good, dutiful son and uncle and brother, I go to work. And I get to at least have some communication with people that don't share my last name. And that's not a bad thing. I'm saying that with in complete honesty. And I get, like, I don't know if I don't work with developmentally disabled adults. And I get to, you know, have fun with them. Actually, we actually went fishing today, which is something I love to do. And it's funny that all my gay friends, they'll say, "You actually fish? You can fish? You get dirty?" Yeah, not the fish, but when you're on a boat and, you know, just kind of laying back, you know, I fish. I dig. When I arrived at work this afternoon, I told my clients, I'm like, "Okay, we got to dig for worms. You know, I'm not going to buy any. We need to go dig for some worms." And I dug, and they watched, but dug worms up and got those all enough of them to go fishing today and make sure everybody's pole was correct. And they are incomplete. It's so funny because I'm David. I'm just kind of quirky, and they're like, "Man, how do you know how to do all this?" I'm like, "I could fish before I could talk." And that's what I tell all my gay friends. I could fish before I could talk. You know, so don't be looking at me like I this is something that a boy should be able to do. Because if you knew my friends, you know what I'm talking about. But I could, I'm a very good fisherman. And so we went out and then we had ran out of worms. And me trying to be prepared for everything all the time, there were some old hot dogs that I grabbed. It kind of, you know, they get kind of greasy and oily and nasty. Well, bluegill, if you know what bluegill are, these little kind of, they're like the roach of the, I would say roach. Roach is the bad word. Wrong word. They're like the rabbit of the lakes and ponds, because they multiply really quickly. They'll eat just about anything, and they're pretty relatively easy to catch. And we're out there fishing and pulling some fish in, and they're just so excited. They're seeing me get these fish in, and I'm like, "Oh, we're having, we had a really awesome day." And then the last fish that I caught, you know, it was a little different. So I knew it wasn't the normal bluegill. It wasn't a bluegill at all. And I'm like, "Oh, guys, here we come. And I pull out this, it wasn't a big catfish. It was a small one, but it was a catfish. And I didn't even know this lake had catfish in it. And they were so excited because none of them had ever seen a catfish in real life before. So I kind of got a kick out of it. And I'm telling them how to hold it and, you know, what's safe, how to get the hook out of its mouth. And we had fun. We end up actually, I think I caught maybe the one catfish and maybe 10, 11 bluegills. And one of the other clients, he caught about eight or nine. So we had a good fishing day and warm out, but we had a good day. So that's my entertainment. Now I get to do stuff with my clients that I can't do now because I'm back in my square in my real life. I get to play social David when I'm at work, if that makes sense. But it's a good time. It was a good time. And another thing about being back home and being in the basement, I get a lot of time to spend, like right now, I'm in front of my laptop, sitting on my sofa. And this is a converted basement with a kitchen and everything. It's a full spread down here. So when I say in my mother's basement, it's not like it's a deep, dank hole in the ground. It's a converted basement with rooms and bathrooms and bedrooms and stuff down here. That's where I stayed up in college. But I'm sitting here in front of my laptop, and I get to spend a lot of time on social media. I know. Social media has become my friend, and the thing is, social media is not really social when you think about it. It's not as social as you would want it to be, because you look at Facebook and it will piss you off that you just see. Because now, I do have some resentment. This can't be an honest podcast if I'm not being honest. I'm resentful of my life now because there's things that I have to do that I don't want to do it. I think I'm missing out, which I'm probably not. But you know, life is life, and sometimes life happens, and you have to deal with it. But so you see on Facebook that you know all your friends are doing X, Y, Z, and they're having a good time, and you know, not that I wish I'm doing more, because I know, like I said in last week's podcast, I believe everything happens for a reason. I think you're pushed in. I think the cosmos pushes you in a certain direction. I think the job that I have was for a reason. A job that I don't have is for a reason. I think being here in this moment is for a reason. I think being on this podcast and doing this is definitely for a reason. Like I told you last week, this is my therapy. And but that's okay too. But no, so I'm on Facebook and I'm reading, you know, all the stuff and seeing all the stuff from friends, and whoever created Candy Crush, don't like you. I talked about so many people on Facebook about stop sending me requests. I'm not gonna play this game, and then I download it on my iOS device. Wrong thing. I kind of got addicted. Anyhow, my sister's really big into it as well. But social media is not really social. I think it makes you a little more antisocial, you know, because you know these people. I've seen people that we have phenomenal conversations on Facebook, but when they see me out in public, you know, they act like they don't know who I am, which is really, really, really bizarre, because I'm like, hey, what you doing? You know, like, oh, hey. And it's like two words. I'm like, can you not be social without your keyboard? You know, that's one of the skills I have. I'm a talker. I enjoy talking, but, I'm like, you can't have, you know, more than a few words for me. And then last night you was telling me all your personal business on Facebook, which is really bizarre. And that's another thing, people, stop putting all your business on Facebook. I put some things when I'm frustrated. Sometimes I'll put something crazy on there, but then I'll go back and delete it, you know, because I want to think I'm crazy. But stop putting your personal business on Facebook. I'm tired of reading it. I've deleted so many friends, especially during the election, and I won't even go there. I had to get rid of so many people because I didn't know that they kind of harbored some of these underlining almost racial issues that I just wasn't prepared to deal with. But there's an app on Facebook called Bitstrips. It's a little cartoon app that gives you a cartoon character, and it was fun. I start using it. I had seen a friend of mine using it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I want to check that out. And it was good. Like you have your character, and it's called bit stripping your friends, and then you have bit strips of I have one of my sister, one of my niece, my cousin, my mother, and you know, just my mom's on Facebook. That's something that she does enjoy when she's feeling up to it. But and then they make these pre-made cartoons, and you provide the nuances of the faces and the pretty much the character. You don't control the scene or what's there. You just control the characters, and you make word bubbles. And so I've been using it for a couple weeks, and people thought that was really, really funny. And then one day, like, mind you, I tell you, I have an ill mother. She's not sick. We've had some scares. I'm looking, and it was... It was me, it's my character, and I'm at a pulpit, if you're familiar with a church, you know, where the preacher stands, and when he's given his sermon, that's where he stands. I'm in a pulpit, and the little byline was, David gives a Syrian or something about a eulogy for Deborah, which is my mother. And then they have a casket with my mom laying in the casket. I'm like, that's not funny to me. That's inappropriate humor. I'm like, ugh. So I emailed the company, of course. I was like, this is not appropriate humor. You know, that's one of my situation, which they probably don't care. I'm like, why would you even have this on here? Because people dying and me eulogizing somebody is not funny, because this is a comic. You know, that's not funny humor to me. And so I just eventually just deleted it, because I was mortified, you know, because I don't like those little omens and things like that. I don't like seeing stuff like that. And so I just kind of deleted it off. And I won't be using it again, but, you know, whatever. Just kind of bizarre. It has some other inappropriate death humor that I didn't like. So I'm like, yeah, you guys, but whoever's making your cartoon for you, they're not funny, and they need to be reprimanded. Doubt if they will. And then another social media site that I enjoy, well, not that I enjoy, I've been using, it's called GetGlue. Let me put that out there. It's called GetGlue, and if you know what GetGlue is, it's a, because I watch a lot of television, that's the other thing that I get to do. Like, this time of night when it's quiet, I'm not being called upon, I'm not working, I'm just sitting here in the basement, you know, either on my laptop or watching television. And so I watch a lot of television. And so you check into shows and you get these little stickers, which is kind of crazy. I know I'm too old for all that, but it's kind of fun. And you get to see other people's comments about what you put on and different stuff like that. And I use, on my iOS device, I use the Beagle, which I've actually gotten like 30 or 40 bucks in iTunes gift cards, which this, and some Starbucks gift cards as well. So that was kind of cool, because you get so many points that you can use to purchase stuff in their store. So I think that's kind of cool, because you don't have to pay for anything. But anyhow, but back to GetGlue, they do have an app as well. Using that, and so I'm a big Charm fan. I like a lot of sci-fi stuff, and so this chick on there on GetGlue, she makes a review about Charmed, and it's wrong. It's completely wrong. And it just had different things about the show. Like, she might have seen five or six shows and thought she had grasped the whole thing, but it wasn't the case. It was all completely wrong. And so I just say, hey, if you want to be the called guru of this show, you need to change your review, because there's some things you mentioned in your review is not indicative or even correct about the show. So all her minions start going off on me. I'm like, what happened when somebody can't correct you? You know, I wasn't being nasty. I got a slick mouth and everything, but I wasn't being a diva about it. I'm like, you just need to change it. I'm a really big fan of the show. Another series I have every season on DVD, and it is on, I think Netflix. It still is Buffy. This is what, and I even gave her the episodes where she was trying to use that as the basis. And I'm like, well, this is the episode, and that's why it's wrong. I gave her season, episode, and what happened. Change it. You're the reviewer. You want to be the top of something, but you don't have it. And I have even had to give her the definition of guru. And so she takes it a step further. And she says to me, she sends me an email through their website, mind you. She says, I need to learn to be nice, or she's going to get me kicked off this social media GetGlue site. And plus, she knows Atlanta very well, and she will find me. But little does she know, I don't live in Atlanta anymore. But that's a threat. Can you threaten people on social media? I didn't think you can. So, of course, I sent a little email off to GetGlue, and like, well, this chick threatened me, and she's crazy. You know, because you don't know what people will do nowadays. Maybe, what if she did know Atlanta? Maybe she did know where I lived. You know, you know, maybe she'll go kill a person who's living in my house now. I don't know. But it was just very bizarre, and it got kind of crazy. I'm babbling now, so I think this would be a great time to get off here. Thank you guys for listening. I know I rambled. We talked about a couple of different things. Like I said, I do have a Blog Talk radio show. It's called The 5x5. You can get that at blogtalkradio.com/5, BY5, and you can check that out. But thanks for listening to this podcast. This is my therapy, like I told you guys. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter, I am at @onefunnyguy. That's at @onefunnyguy on Twitter. Would love to hear your comments about the show. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week. Have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.